Well, it's good to see everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to proclaim Yahweh's word. It's good to receive Yahweh's word. It's good to come into his rest. It's good to be a part of the family. But what if we were back in ancient times? What if we were back in Egypt and we had all the leeks and onions and different things that we would, you know, desire fleshly, and we had all the water we could drink and maybe even some wine or some of the other fruits, stuff that would have been grown there. We had secure jobs. Of course, we were under slavery. We were taxed beyond belief, but hey, you know, we were still living. But then comes a man saying he was sent by the Father, saying he's going to bring us out. In fact, Yahweh himself is going to bring the people out. Would we follow? Well, if we recognize that it was true, as I'm sure the Israelites did, would we be more than willing, or would we want to go back to Egypt? We have the choice today to either go forward, march forward, following our Savior, following Yahweh, or we can go back to symbolic Egypt, into the world, where things are easy, cozy. We can get lazy boy recliners and kick back and watch TV. We can have a career. We can work 7 days, 12-hour days. I've done that before. It's not fun. I know the difference between working 7 days a week and working six and having a day of rest. There's benefits to following Yahweh's ways. Well, I want to lead into the message today called Wilderness Complaints, because as much as I think we would like to think we would do better than ancient Israel, sometimes we do worse. Sometimes we follow our flesh rather than follow the Spirit of Yahweh. Sometimes we mess up and trip and fall flat on our face rather than doing Yahweh's will. And so it's very important that we go through these, review them, understand what Yahweh would have of us, understand the example that was set before us, which wasn't good with Israel. They were to be a light, shining example to all the nations, and they failed again and again and again. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul talked about the things he wanted to do, he didn't do. The things that he didn't want to do, those are the very things he did. What was he talking about? Attitude. He had different things going on within him. He recognized that. He told on himself what was going on. And if we're truthful with ourselves, we're going to find out that, hey, we're not perfect. We're still dealing with this flesh. We're still coming out of Egypt, and we still have some issues, just like ancient Israel had issues. But we're overcoming. We're not to be like ancient Israel in the sense of rebuking Yahweh. Essentially, that's what they did. They rebuked Yahweh to him, to his face. Now, for a time, he held off from punishing them, but he started eventually punishing them. He recognized where they had been, where they needed to be, and where they were at the time. So he had compassion and mercy. He has compassion and mercy on us. But we have to have our wits about us and not go back, but move forward. Humble ourselves before Yahweh. 10 times Israel tested Yahweh. They sinned because they did not listen to his voice, his word, nor his commandments. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to apply some of the lessons to our own day, see the applications for our own lives. We're going to do this based upon the 10 times Israel tested Yahweh. So first up is Numbers 14, 22 through 23, we'll want to take a look at. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt, in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. Well, that doesn't sound like a very nice, loving Elohim, does it? But Yahweh's not messing around. And we know that he doesn't, you know, his character doesn't change. Now, in that, in saying that, we know the sons of Jacob are not consumed, as mentioned in Malachi, because his character doesn't change. So he's still going to have his promises worked out. But for those that despise his ways, that forsake him, he will forsake. There's going to be vessels of dishonor. There's going to be vessels of honor. And it's really a choice that's given to us, whether or not we will work on overcoming and maintain the course, or just give up and walk away and try to go back to Egypt. And as I've said before, we've seen a couple do that, and it didn't work out well in the end for them physically, and I'm sure it won't spiritually either. But the first test, the first, against Yahweh by Israel was at the Red Sea. Now you remember how the army was following them out. You know, I said, okay, you can go. Then Pharaoh changed his mind and went after the Israelites. Followed them all the way out to the when you look in the Hebrew, it's Reed Sea. It's not Red Sea. Nevertheless, they were up against a sea that they could not cross at the time. So they saw the armies behind them. They saw the sea in front of them. They were basically between a rock and a hard place, so to speak. But they're between the army and the sea. And no doubt, anxiety and fear gripped them. Now, there are going to be times when anxiety and fear grip us as we have left Egypt. We're going to be confronted with different things like, you know, David, we need you on the Sabbath here at work. We really can't do this without you. We need you here. And if we can't have you here, we're going to have to fire you. Plain and simple. Okay? We're given a choice when things like that happen. And we might feel some anxiety, we may feel some fear, but it's a test. What are we going to do? Are we going to go, you know, things were better. I mean, I didn't find things this hard coming out, you know, or when I was back in Egypt. So, you know, here I'm faced with this situation. But I use myself as an example because I've been confronted with that. But I passed those tests. There are other tests I'm still striving to pass. And I think these things come again and again for us to be refined, to go through the fire, to be purified, so that we are the people that Yahweh would have us to be going into the kingdom. You know, we've talked about this before, having, you know, each one of us is like a stone that's being shaped. It's difficult at times to be shaped the way Yahweh would have us to be within the temple. We are a temple unto Yahweh, but each of us is still living stones. We're individuals. But Yahweh is working us together into this temple. So this is a process that is going on. It's not always easy. And you know, for us, you know, we have the example from, you know, the history of Israel, which actually puts us in a better place. And yet, we still didn't see the signs and the wonders and the glory of Yahweh in that sense that they saw. But they saw that, and still, they tested Yahweh by saying what they did. But here, John 20 and verse 29, Yahshua said him to Timothy, doubting Timothy, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Blessed are they who did not see even these things, these examples, but they're written down for us. But we have the example also of Joshua and what he went through. And we know that he was pierced for our transgressions. We know that he was put up on a stake for our sins. So we have a more serious calling today because we know someone literally died for us. And so we're not our own. A price was paid for us. But here's the complaint of Israel, the first complaint, Exodus 14, 11 through 12. Again, the army is behind them. They're at the Red Sea. And then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Isn't that awful? And yet we can come to the same point that they did when things get really tough in our lives, when things seem unbearable. But we have to remember that Yahweh says, well, we're promised that we're not going to be given more than we can handle. So as we come into the faith, as we move forward, as we learn, as we grow, we have to remember that Yahshua himself says, "I will never forsake nor leave you." But that doesn't mean we can't forsake and leave him. Doesn't mean we can't shake our hand out of his hand and walk away. And that, like I've said before, has happened. And so this is a bit of an encouragement. It's also a bit of a warning to not do that. But with what they said, they were still blessed. Exodus 14, verse 13 through 15. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Yahweh will fight for you while you keep silent." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." I think Moses was actually getting a bit angry here with them. And if you put in terms of maybe more of an angry voice as he's speaking with the people, I think you get more of a sense of how he was feeling. Because he was going through all this for them, trying to help them. And they were saying, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness?" They escaped any harm. The sea opened. They were granted entrance out of that area. The Egyptians, the armies, were killed off. Yahweh took care of it. They didn't have to lift a finger, but they did have to move forward. They had to trust. Yahweh gave them a way out. You know, it's kind of the way it works with sin, too, when we're confronted with sin. Transgression of Yahweh's law, you know, knowing to do right but not doing it, that's sin. Anything, you know, not done by faith is sin. Well, what's faith? Faith is living a proper way in Yahweh's way of life. Yahshua had faith. The saints are said to have, said to be commandment keepers and have the faith of the Messiah. And so the faith of Yahshua. So they have the faith that he had, which was obedience to the Father. But they are, and we are, to not sin. But if a temptation comes to us, Yahweh promises through the word that we will be given a way out. They, Israel, This is Yahweh's word in action. We're given a way out. They wanted to go back. They were tempted. You know, they could have probably worked out a deal because Egyptians needed slaves to build their pyramids and what have you. But they were given a way out. Lesson and application for us. Do we get unsettled because of problems? Problems that arise. Does it ever feel like you're under attack, struggling with family, work issues, or something else? We don't have to worry about the situation. I mean, we can think about the situation. The situation's going to cause us to feel uncomfortable. But we need to realize, especially newly baptized, those that are seeking baptism, that Satan is out to discourage, that there is an unseen spiritual realm that we're living in the physical realm, but that spiritual realm is around. And though we may not be able to see it, there are most likely angels surrounding us here. We each, those in Messiah, have ministering angels, angels that protect. But Satan is out to seek whom he can devour because he knows his time is short. So we can think, you know, well, we wouldn't have been doing like the ancient, you know, Israel, like, you know, wanting to go back to Egypt. Well, there are times when those feelings can come up. There are times when the situation that we find ourselves in can be detrimental. Physically, uncomfortable, and we wonder, we're gonna continue going forward, but we are commanded to go forward, and we are sojourning like Abraham, like Moses, like the Israelites in the wilderness. That's the example that we can draw from, which is similar today, but our service to Yahweh is to be different than ancient Israel. Ancient Israel failed, and we are not to fail. We are to learn from their mistakes and strive to overcome and be the people that Yahweh would have us to be. Yahshua promised that the gates of Hades would not overcome the assembly. And so Satan cannot overpower us because we have Yahweh's Spirit, because Yahweh's Spirit is with us, because the angels of Yahweh are around us. So we can move forward. We don't have to give up. We can understand that some of the seemingly fiery trials that we go through are going to come and they're going to go. No matter what we find ourselves in, it will pass. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that was quoted as saying, "This too shall pass." That's something that can actually help us when we're in a time of temptation or a time of trouble that we don't quite understand. And, why would Yahweh be allowing me to go through this? Well, there's evidently a reason for your testing, for your refinement, for the purpose of to bring glory to Him as you overcome. And as we overcome, as we go through difficulties and we see Yahweh working things out, we should be able to say, unlike the ancient Israelites, we should be able to say, well, Yahweh worked that out for me, so He'll work this out for me too. I don't have to be all anxious about it or worried about it. I'm not going to add any hair to my head by doing so. Yahweh promises not to forsake or leave us. A weightlifter will typically have a spotter if they're lifting heavy. Us guys will understand that. And certainly we're going through some training. You know, the weightlifting is needed to build up the physical body. Well, we go through weight training in the spiritual sense. And we have a spotter to help us. Yahweh's not going to give us so much weight that we just can't move it. He's going to give us enough to get us stronger, to give us more endurance, to help us along. And sometimes the weight looks just too big. But if we have a helper, which we do, it can be moved. And some things, we don't necessarily want to move them in our lives. We just want to go around them. It's not that we have to move them. You know, we can work things out to where we can just get past them. Another time of testing of Yahweh was at Marah. It's waters that are bitter. Israelites were thirsting. Here's the complaint. Exodus 15, speaking of thirst, I think I'll drink a little water here. Exodus 15, 22 through 26. Then Moses led Israel. Hope you can read that. If not, open up your Bibles. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, well, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, branch from it, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation. There he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, not some, not part of them, all of them, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, Yahweh, am your healer. Yahweh Rapha in the Hebrew. And he is our healer. And if we need anointing, we can come before him and before elders and like James chapter 5 talks about, and be healed. Through Yahshua's death, sacrifice, through the stripes that he received, we can receive healing. Now, we may not get the answer to our prayer right away of healing. It might be not yet, but it might actually be no. I think of, you know, Paul's thorn in the flesh concerning that, but that even was for a purpose. So Yahweh isn't out to destroy us. Yahweh is out to help us. He has good in mind for us. And we can't even imagine the things that are coming. You know, Paul talked about, he didn't even consider this life worth comparing to the next, because it's going to be so much better. And as we go through and read, you know, past the kingdom in Revelation 21, you know, Yahweh himself is going to come down after the world is purified. And he's going to wipe all the tears away. No more pain. No more suffering. And so we can think about these things also. They are promises. They will happen. You know, if any of us is questioning whether or not the Bible is true, come and sit down with me, because there's scientific evidence for the Bible being true. The prophecies, most of which have, I think, taken place, two-thirds, but there's still, you know, a third to go. There's still prophecy yet ahead of us. And of course, we experience things within our own life that, we recognize Yahweh working in our lives. And so that's part of the things we draw upon to keep moving forward. But there's the factor of Yahweh's Spirit. And we know the Word says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says Yahweh. So we understand his Spirit is helping us. It opens up our mind, opens up our heart, opens up our understanding essentially to his Word. We have the choice to move forward. We have the power to move forward. We have the strength and the fortitude to make the right decisions. But we still deal with flesh, just as Paul had talked about. And so it's an issue, the flesh, that is. Well, the blessing was that the bitter water was made sweet. and they were able to refresh at Elim with the date trees. Going into verse 27, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. They shouldn't have even questioned whether or not Yahweh was going to provide. But don't we today? Don't we get worried sometimes about jobs and things? It's natural. So we're still dealing with the flesh, but we need to have faith that Yahweh is going to work things out. Have faith that he will provide. Have faith that his word is true. Putting ourselves in his hand, which is the best place we can be. You know, we feel exhausted sometimes. We feel distraught, not knowing where the relief will come from. Do we feel like giving up when our expectation sometimes turns out to be more of a burden for us than the relief that we had hoped for? For example, you get your motor fixed in the car, but then the transmission goes out, or you get a job that turns out to be worse than the previous one that you had. You get sick, but rather than getting better, you get worse. These things happen. And someone coming in to be baptized should know this. Things can get worse. Things can get totally bad. What do I mean by that? I mean your house can be gone. Your car can be gone. Your family can be gone just because of the beliefs. I mentioned the house and the car and the family because there were a couple that got baptized, and that's exactly what happened. Within a week, within 2 weeks, house was gone, car was gone, family was gone. Could they handle it? Yeah, we wouldn't have given them more than they could handle, but it was a test for them. I'm not sure where they are now. They didn't come back. But the hope is that as they went through the struggling and suffering that they experienced, that they recognized that they still needed to be dedicated to Yahweh. There's a lot of different assemblies out there. You don't have to be at this one. You can be at another one. There's other assemblies. We don't claim to have dibs on the Spirit, that if you leave here, you're gonna leave the Spirit. Or the Spirit's going to leave you. The Spirit will leave if you continue in sin. The Spirit will leave if you forsake Yahweh. Go back into Egypt. You'll lose the Spirit. That's what the Word teaches. And we're to know the Word. We're to study, learn, grow. Allow the Spirit of Yahweh to grow within us, help us to overcome, to do the things that would be pleasing to Yahweh. What are the things that are pleasing to Yahweh? What did Abraham do that was pleasing to Yahweh? Well, he had faith. At Hebrews 11, yeah, but Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 10, it talks about obedience. Hebrews 12, it talks about obedience. Go back to Genesis 26:5, it talks about Abraham, you know, why he was blessed. He kept Yahweh's charge, his commandments, his statutes, his law. There's a reason why he was blessed. Yes, he had faith. He also had works, works that were set from the beginning to do, to walk in. And they're set there for us too. The test here for the people was to obey Yahweh's word. Has anything changed? I don't think so. It's a test for us today. Especially knowing that we have to strive to do better than just keeping the Sabbath holy or not stealing, but also the weightier matters as well. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. extending your hand to help someone in need, being a good Samaritan, love in action while being obedient to the law, works together. It's not easy at times, though, but guaranteed it's a process of growth that we have to go through. And you hear of churches, different believers in the Bible, and boy, they emphasize the justice, the mercy, the faithfulness, they'll emphasize love, grace, these type of things, but they neglect the very thing that Yahweh is well pleased with. That is keeping his instructions. There are people that do good, seem to have lots of mercy and faithfulness and justice, and they don't even believe the Bible. They're giving, they're warm, kind, but they don't keep the law. You know, the word tells us to be doers of the law, not hearers only. They don't even hear the law. They don't want to hear it. Not yet. And it may be that their time is just not now. That is the indication that we see in Scripture, that those that are blind, deaf, won't take instruction, will see, hear, and take instruction. But there's a timing for that. The timing is for us now, hearing the message. But there's going to be a time later for people to be awakened as well. There are people that have never heard the truth of Yahweh's word. They've fallen asleep. They'll be raised up in a resurrection. Not the first resurrection, they'll be raised up in a second resurrection to face judgment. Well, if they didn't know any better, they'll receive few stripes compared to those that knew and didn't do what they should have done. So that's Yahshua's own words, essentially. And so we understand that there's going to be levels of judgment. And not second chances, per se, but first opportunities for many people. But as we've talked about in the past, through the tribulation, there's going to be a lot of people evidently waking up. And so we hope to be there to help them. We're not going to be raptured out, sitting on some cloud with a harp, watching all the suffering and pain and difficulties. And we know this is true because the word says that those that are sealed during the fifth trumpet, they're going to be protected. They're not going to, in the sense, they're not going to receive the boils and the things that the other people are receiving. You know, it's going to be the same thing that happened in Egypt. Yahweh made a distinction between those of Egypt who were receiving the plagues and Israel in the land of Goshen. They didn't receive the last number of plagues, but Egypt did. And so he made the distinction. He'll make the same distinction again in the years ahead. If we're alive to experience that, I mean, it's going to happen whether we're alive or not. But the distinction will be made. And so, going back to the idea, Yahweh's consistent, he doesn't change, he still works things out the way he's going to work things out. It's going to be a similar process. And of course, we're not looking for a physical land, but a spiritual land in the sense of the promised land. So we still have our goal, we still have the promises of Yahweh all the way back to Abraham. We have assurances. The biggest one is Yahweh's Spirit, a portion of it guarantees us inheritance if we overcome to the end. And we understand it is an overcoming process rather than being overcome by the world. You know, some of the difficulties that we go through, you know, we can always find someone that's going through more difficulties, more pain, more suffering, and you know, when we see certain things, we recognize, hey, it's not so bad for us after all. So we need to, you know, pull up the bootstraps, so to speak, continue marching on, recognize Yahweh's blessings. It's good to sit down and just write out Yahweh's blessings, the things that are good, and recognize that there's a lot of good that Yahweh has done for us. There's a preacher that was a Thalidomide baby. I don't know if before some of our time, but there used to be a medicine called Thalidomide, and babies were born without arms, without legs. Awful. But there's a preacher that had been born this way, and he had a great attitude. Amazing. And I was thinking, wow, what do I have to complain about? I can walk around. He can't even walk around like a normal person. And to pick things up, he has to do it like between the stubs, you know, attached to his, you know, arm. I mean, it's amazing. And while he didn't understand that we are to be obey the law, he did understand that we're to have mercy and compassion and also joy. Count it all joy when we go through fiery trials. Well, that's a hard one. That's like loving your enemy. How do we do that when your enemy is attacking you? When your enemy has his foot on your throat? How am I supposed to love my enemy? Not easy, but we're called to be different. We're called to sacrifice. We're called to serve. We're called to give up our lives. We're told that if we try to save our lives, we'll lose it. What was Israel trying to do? They're trying to save their lives. Let us go back. It was better back there. We didn't have to suffer like this. What did they say to Moses? You bring us out to kill us? Wow. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Oh, awful, awful attitudes. Do we have that attitude? Be honest. Sometimes I think, you know, the flesh gets the best of us. But we need to overcome. We need to recognize Yahweh's blessings in our lives. Recognize that we can be joyful. Recognize that there are reasons we go through some of the things we go through. And this is a parched land that we're in. We see a need, the thirst in people, and they don't know how to drink of the waters that are available. So, it's interesting to, you know, offer living waters. I mean, Yahshua offered living waters and people walked away from them. There was about 70, was there, or so. He mentioned some deeper truth to them and they all fled except for the 12. He said, aren't you going to? He spoke up and said, well, Where do we go? You have the words of life. And when we come into the knowledge of the truth, we know that there is no other way than this. But it's different than a lot of what society considers to be truth and moral. They may see not stealing as moral, morally good, but they don't see keeping the Sabbath as morally good, but it's just as moral to keep the Sabbath as it is not to steal. And of course, we had an individual that was in here and actually upset me because he regurgitating all the different excuses for not being obedient to the Father. Well, I keep every day holy, or, you know, that was, Yahweh says, The seventh day is holy to remember that day. We don't have the right to change it, to make another day. Historians can go back to the Messiah's time, recognize that the day is unchanged. It's a weekly pattern that has come down to us. What does Yahweh say? Keep the seventh day holy. No servile work. Come before him. Holy convocation. We were asked the other day, what do we do on the Sabbath? What do we do on the feast? Well, what does it say in Leviticus 23? It gives us guidelines. Holy convocation, a day of rest, worship before him. That's why we're here. We're worshiping before him. We're going through the word. We're seeing what he would teach us. I hope you don't look at me and think, well, you know, I'm the one teaching you. Yahweh's teaching you. I'm here as a vessel, sharing what the word says, giving some of my experience, sharing what I've gone through, relating to you the difficulties that do arise, allowing you to know it's not all a bed of roses. There are some thorns involved, but it's because we're in a fallen world and we're still dealing with the flesh that we're dealing with because of Adam and Eve having sinned. And those thorns forming after they sinned. That death came in after they sinned. That's when the sacrifices started. Animals had to die for them. That process went on forward, even into, with Noah, the Levitical priest, going back, Cain and Abel. So, but with Yahshua, we are brought in through his sacrifice. We no longer have to do physical sacrifices. We don't have to do ritual mikvahs under the Levitical priesthood, but we do have to offer up praise to our Heavenly Father. We do need to do what he tells us to do in his word. I mean, basic principles are still there for us. They have been from the beginning. I mentioned Genesis 26:5. That was before Mount Sinai. You can't just say, well, yeah, Mount Sinai, that covenant. There's eternal laws. There are basic principles that Yahweh has had in place from the very beginning. The Sabbath is one of them from creation. So how can we say, I'll keep every day holy? Yahweh says the seventh day. Now, we are to be holy in each day. We are to be set apart. But the day itself was something that Yahweh set apart. We can't make it unholy. Well, yeah, we can make it unholy by doing wrong in it. But we're not to. We're to keep it holy. So, basic stuff. In the wilderness of sin, I think it's actually more like seen in the Hebrew, but though Israel's thirst was satisfied, they found reason to grumble because of their hunger. Exodus 16, 1 through 3. I think I have 4 down here too, but let's go through this. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now, who are they really grumbling against? No. Ultimately, Yahweh. It kind of reminds me of King Saul. Going back to that time period when the people were complaining to Samuel, give us a king like the rest of the peoples. We want a king. And your sons are no good, and we don't want you. And Samuel's like, man, they hate me. He always says, look, they're not hating you. They're not against you. They're against me. But give them what they want. But tell them what they're going to get. Because of their you know, because of their lack of patience. And that's, you know, for us, we need to have patience. We are in need of endurance. Some of the things we go through are to build up endurance within us. Things are going to get a lot tougher. This is a, what do they call it, a cakewalk right now in this country. I mean, we can see the underlying current and how bad it could get. You know, I've never lived through a civil war, but civil wars have taken place. There are other disasters. I've never really lived through a major disaster. Well, Southern Texas is going through one right now. Hurricane, tropical storm, category 4, it went up to. I mean, it's possible it could keep going for a day or two more because it's kind of hanging out. The flooding is tremendous. I've never been through anything like that. So for me, it's, you know, been somewhat easy in that respect. I know it could be a lot harder, but there's other things that I deal with personally, as you deal with things, each of you. But in all of this, we have to keep in mind that there are things yet ahead that we need to be patient for those things, waiting patiently for the latter rain. Do you understand what that means? There's more coming. Early latter rains, you know, a lot of things happening in the first century, things we don't necessarily see now, but no doubt will come. In our lifetime? I don't know. During the tribulation? Most likely. And of course beyond, when the everyone will know Yahweh. No one will be saying, no, you know, no, I know Yahweh, because His Spirit has been poured out. That's coming. Okay, let's go back to Exodus 16. Let's go to 2. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses, Aaron, and in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Yahweh's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat. Good porridge. Well, meat, you know, meat and porridge, stew. When we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Is that what he did? Then Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, for the people. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instructions. So he's still testing them. We're not going through this today without testing, because the pattern is similar. It's symbolic in the sense of leaving Egypt, but there are things in the world that can tempt us to, you know, making us kind of want to go back, getting us sidestepped, moving us away from what we should be doing. The blessing was that they received manna from heaven. They said, what is it? Because they had never seen it before. That was manna. Manna means, what is it? And this is actually the verse there, 4, where they were blessed. When Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Manna, essentially. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instructions. But it's a common theme, testing. And it's something we need to pay attention to, because we're being tested. Ran into an individual the other day, had been attending here, had started attending elsewhere. I'm not going to name names, but recognized that something was going on. Anyway, I talked to him, and he acknowledged that he was working on the Sabbath. Well, there's a real problem with that, because it's one of the tests for us, whether or not we will honor Yahweh's Sabbath, because we're told to honor his Sabbath. We're told to honor him. There was something I wanted to say to him that I thought I should have said to him. Now, mind you, this is a long time. We're talking over a year, talking maybe a couple of years. We're talking about not having seen him for that whole duration, but then I saw him again like a day, 2 days later in a different location. And I told him what I was thinking I should have told him. And it was evidently Yahweh's will that he got told. But I told him, look, this is a test command. And he didn't feel worthy. I said, well, didn't Yahweh give Jezebel time to repent? He had to admit that Yahweh did. You know, sometimes we don't feel worthy. Sometimes we don't feel like, and should we? Should we feel like we're anything when we're really nothing? We really are nothing in Yahweh's sight. I mean, we're less than, but yet, you know, Yahweh looks at us and sees the potential. He sees what we can be. He sees us being a part of his family. He calls us children, sons and daughters, even now. And with that, he guides and directs and helps. And I feel no doubt that this individual is being helped. I know of someone else that started working on the Sabbath. We had actually talked to him here. He went to another assembly, kept working on the Sabbath. Eventually, he went before a judge and claimed, sovereign ground, I don't have to pay taxes. The judge went, jail. 10 years, the individual was in jail. The individual being a brother. I think it was direct intervention by Yahweh. Because didn't he do the same type of thing with Judah? Taking them into Babylonian captivity? It wasn't to destroy them. It was to get their attention, to get them to stop sinning. And Yahweh will do the same with us because he loves us. Because he wants us to be the people he would have us to be. And the people he would have us to be is an obedient and loving people towards him and for him, for his work, for his purpose. We are to have the same goals, aspirations, and such. So we see things over time. We recognize Yahweh is at work with us. And Yahweh was at work with the people. And they complained, and yet he blessed them. Sometimes our attitude isn't very good, and yet he blesses us. But at times, he punishes us as well. And he starts to punish Israel because, you know, enough is enough. You get warned, you get told. Eventually, you're going to get punished if you persist in doing things wrong. Exodus, let's go over to Exodus 16. Whoops. Okay. If you haven't gotten the message already, it's this. Stop complaining. Pretty simple sign. It's not black, white. It's in red and white. But it says, stop complaining. And so this is essentially the core of the message, is to not do what ancient Israel did, which was mainly complain. But they did more than that. They sinned. They had unbelief. They were to believe. They weren't to sin. They were to be obedient to Yahweh's commandments. They failed. And so we read in areas elsewhere that, you know, essentially they're an example for us not to do that, but to be better than that. And we're given Yahweh's Spirit for the purpose of being given a help to move forward, be comforted at times, and to not rely on our own understanding, but to study the Word and rely on Yahweh. So, are we having a difficulty with a spouse, an employer? Are we growing resentful because of his or her treatment to you? Be an example of love to them. Let them see the Messiah working within you. And it's not always easy. And Messiah wasn't always that gentle with people. And we're told at times to cry aloud, spare not. But for the most part, we are to be, in general, peaceful, loving, kind, merciful, and obedient. Don't forget that. We are to not neglect Yahweh's commandments, his instructions. And instructions concerning manna were given. Exodus 16 and 16 through 20. Those that didn't listen to Moses had worms and stench to deal with. Here's the complaint. Exodus 16, 16 through 20. This is what Yahweh has commanded. Gather of it, this manna, as much as each man should eat. You shall take an omer, a piece, according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. So not too much, not too little. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little, and they measured it with an omer. He who had gathered much had no excess. He who gathered little had no lack. Each man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until morning. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms, became foul, and Moses was angry with them. Look, here are the instructions. This is what you're to do. And this is what happens when you don't do it. And so we find that there are cause and effect. There's a cause and effect here. Curse, blessing. These things are still in effect with Yahweh. Those that obey do not have worms and stench to deal with. So, don't we suffer the consequences of our own actions? Are there lessons to be learned, like don't do what is wrong? In this section, we see a distinction of those that obey compared to those who don't. And isn't this a lesson for us? Is Yahweh holy? Of course he is. Leviticus 19, 2 through 3. Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Your Elohim, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Set apart, essentially, is what that word means. Set apart for a special purpose. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father. You shall keep my Sabbaths. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. How much plainer could he be? He's very plain in stating what he desires of us. And there's reasons for that. It's for our own good. There's reasons why we are to come and be gathered together in holy convocation on the times that he tells us to do so. He knows us better than we know ourselves. There are benefits in doing what he says. So Yahweh says, be holy, and then shows we are to follow his word, given from his spirit. And didn't Paul say, we know your law is spiritual? Romans chapter 7. He says, we know it. We know your law is spiritual because it was given through men, but it was inspired by the Spirit. And it produces the fruits of the Spirit in the sense of doing it is in line with Yahweh's Spirit. When you read Galatians chapter 5, it says there's no laws against self-control, no laws against having love, because that's what the law produces, the right kind of love, the right kind of control and joy and these things. And thinking about being sensitive to Yahweh's spirit, we have to realize that there are deceiving spirits in the world. What do deceiving spirits do? Well, they go out and deceive people. How do we discern a deceiving spirit? By testing it.
Hey.
against this. If it doesn't match up the doctrines that are out there, if it doesn't match up with this, it has to be rejected. And there are some doctrines out there that are really crazy right now. So crazy that I can't believe that people are falling for it. Things like the flat earth, that the earth is flat, like Yahweh emptied a bowl of cereal, put it over the land, and that's what we're in right now. That's essentially how they've explained it, and it is so bizarre. I don't understand it. But some people are understanding that. And with that, they're learning other things, like lunar Sabbath, or the day starts at the sunrise. That's when the day starts. Is that what this says? Sunday Sabbath. Well, that's, yeah. No, that's the first day of the week. What about the Trinity? Well, there's the flame, and then there's the heat, and there's the light. That's three in one. That's not what this says. It's man-made thoughts. What about the rapture? We're all going to be pre-trib raptured. It's what the majority think. It's not what the word says. It doesn't say that. It says that the tares are taken out. It says sinners will be wiped from the face of the earth. First Timothy 4:1. The Spirit explicitly says in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Let's see, a bowl on the earth. Okay, bink, bink, bink. Can't go out around the earth. You hit the wall. Isn't there a movie called Truman? Oh boy. We're in for some tough times ahead, because there are people that are falling for these deceptions. But it just shows how people are led astray. And Yahshua said, if the blind lead the basically called them both blind. The blind will lead the blind into the ditch. You know, they'll both go into the ditch. There are those today that teach Paul was a heretic. There's one individual that wrote a 490-page document against the book of Galatians. How is a person to respond to such things? When the word clearly is true concerning Paul. We see Paul's writings used as Peter said that they would be used by lawless teachers to be used to justify their lawlessness. This is what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, I think it is there. The word athesmos is used, meaning breaking through the restraint of the law. He says they are breaking through the restraint of the law by twisting Paul's writings as they do the rest of the scriptures. So what scriptures are brought up? Romans 14, Colossians 2, Galatians 4. You know, in context, we understand them. But people are deceived when they hear teachers proclaiming, we don't have to keep the law because it was done away with. And these scriptures prove it. Well, they're using Paul's writings. What it proves is Peter was correct, that these lawless individuals would be using Paul's writings to justify their lawlessness. So we find ourselves in a real mess, because we don't want people deceived like that. We don't want to see people believing things that they shouldn't be believing. We want people to understand the truth and to follow it and to accurately live and teach and share the word with others. But because of Satan, because of his demons, because of the unseen world, and this world has a God, that God is Satan, but we have Yahweh. We're not to be of the world. We're to come out of the world, because the world is falling away, and the world is falling prey to a lot of deception and a lot of things that are contrary to this word. We are not to be like others who say the Savior did it all, so I don't have to do anything. We know better. And we know that we do have to do something. We have to grow. We have to overcome. We have to work righteousness, and labor and serve, and etc. If we complain doing all of this, we're like the guy trying to lift a heavy barbell, saying to the spotter, the one helping us, I don't trust that you're going to help me with this weight. I was hoping the kids would be here today because we have these little images for them, but we could be like this. We can come across a weight in our life and we think, you know, Yahweh is not going to necessarily help us with it because it's just too big. Or, you know, I don't trust that you'll be able to keep it from crushing me. Or is there someone else that can take my place instead? I mean, people get, and we're not immune to this. We're fleshly. Still. Now, when I say fleshly, I mean we still are in the flesh. We should be spiritual. But there are times when, you know, the times get tough. The burdens get heavy. And sometimes we think, maybe someone else can do this. But we're to have faith. We're to stay strong. We're to recognize Yahweh's not going to give us any more than we can handle. We can rely on Yahweh. We can understand that he does have good for, you know, he has things that are good in mind for us. But deceitful spirits in this world and false doctrines lead to more and more doubt and trouble. And people looking in are having trouble discerning right from wrong because they're seeing all the garbage that is now being taught among those who are so-called brethren. And I say so-called because along with the false doctrines are different names. And they say, well, this is how it's really, you know. I asked one individual, he had a name, he's up in Canada. He has a name that it's as long as going across the paper, a regular size paper, and Saver's name, the same thing. It's just, and I emailed him and I said, I was just curious how you came to your understanding on the name. And he wrote back like all upset, like I was chiding him or something. All I was asking is, how did you come to this conclusion? Because I was curious because it's so different than anything I'd ever seen before. And all I got was the door shut on me, you know, so. Deceitful spirits, false doctrines, more and more trouble. And it's harder for people to see the truth when they are looking at all these different things. And you can look on YouTube, you can look on the internet. It's a jungle and quite frankly a mess. Sad. Remember how Satan influenced Adam and Eve by causing doubt. He said, yeah, we really say doubt can cause us to lose the battle or the weight that we are struggling with. and of course can seem beyond what we're able to do. We don't want to be like a bitter root that grows as a weed. We want to and need to be wheat that produces good and healthy food. We can think in terms of good fruit. However, we want and need to be the good soil, or be in the good soil to produce the good fruit. And that means we have to be really careful with what we're teaching. We have to be very detailed in what we're presenting at times, and go through the study process and come to a conclusion about what we believe. Now, you know, here we have the fundamentals of faith, which are basic tenets of what we believe. And we can at least come and agree on those things and then work out the other things that we might have some differences on. We've grown in a number of different areas, and you know, we have a sign in the back showing a number of bookmarks that we have concerning the name and how you correct the name in your Bible. None of the information has actually changed, but the way it's presented is actually better. It looks better. So while presentation could be better, the truth doesn't necessarily change. But there are some things that the truth has become more evident, or the depth of the truth has become more evident. So we've incorporated that into the studies. And speaking of biblical holy days, we now have that in print again, but we made a number of corrections, enhancements, improvements, if you will, to bring a better understanding of the holy days and of the calendar that we are to follow to observe the holy days, so that we're not off a month from everyone else, so that we're not off days or weeks from what Yahweh says is his appointed time. Because just as the weekly Sabbath, the seventh day, is important, it's also just as important to get the right time for Passover, to have the right time for trumpets, atonement, for the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day. And of course, Pentecost and Feast of Unleavened Bread, not to neglect those. We want and need the good soil to produce good fruit, because there are weeds in rotten soil out there. And of course, we have to have a good attitude, doctrines, actions, and be working towards the goal of emulating the Messiah in our lives. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not always doing that as best as I could or can. I recognize I have some limitations. There are things that I need to work on because of my own flesh. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but I recognize my own the problems that I have. And each of us has problems that we need to overcome, that we need to work on. But in all of this, we should be believing the same things, be understanding this word accurately, and be growing in the weightier matters of the law as we move forward. So we can do that with the help of Yahweh, that we can be strong, that we can move the weight, that we can have more faith, that we can have Yahweh working in our lives in the spirit and in the truth of his word. Yahweh and Yahshua will help us to bear the weight that we're put under to help us to grow. And as we grow, we may be asked to lift more weight, to do more, In fact, I think Scripture bears that out. So, the next time we'll look at what we can learn in addition to what we've already looked at, what we can learn about ancient Israel's complaints and testing Yahweh. Because there are lessons and applications for us in all of them, reviewing them, what they did, how they did it, knowing how we should do things differently. When they did things wrong, we're not to emulate that, but to do things right. Last scripture here, Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 17. This relating back to Israel. The author says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living Elohim. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." How would someone's heart be hardened? Sin. You know, it always goes back to sin that really damages, entangles, trips up people, and can take you away. "For we have become partakers of Messiah," or, for us, we have been partakers of Messiah, "if we hold fast." So it's a condition, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until end, "while it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness?" You know, Ezekiel 18 talks about sin is, it leads to death. It is, the result is death. We have the Messiah to get rid of that death penalty from over our head. It doesn't give us a license to go back into Egypt and start living the life that we once had. We're to put that away, and we're to grow. We're to help one another. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are given so that we can build one another up, so that we can encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day coming. So next time we'll be looking at the rest of the complaints from Israel anciently, and learn a few lessons from those. Hallelujah.